the Word of God. And one of the interesting things in the Word of God that God has prophesied hundreds of years ago that on a certain day, Jesus Christ would come into Jerusalem riding on a donkey and presenting himself as king. Now, some people say he didn't present himself as king, but I believe the scriptures claim that he did. He presented himself as king, and of course he was rejected. But the interesting thing about this is, the Bible predicts exactly the day, exactly to the day, that Jesus Christ would ride into Jerusalem on that donkey. And it was announced 173,880 days before Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem on that donkey. It was predicted that he would come and that he would come on that particular day. So some people say, well, the Bible just full of a lot of ideas and really doesn't fit together and there's really not a whole lot of truth in it. Well, we find out this is the truth exactly down to the day. So on the back of your bulletin, it tells this information to us. It is from a place called Koinonia House and give us this information, but we've had it before. But I want you to look in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24, because we are on what they call Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday is in celebration of the day that Jesus came. He came in on the donkey. People put down their coats and palm leaves and something in front of him and made a path for him when he came into Jerusalem on that particular day. And so I want you to go to Old Testament, the book of Daniel, and chapter 9 and verse 24. Daniel had been praying. He'd been praying for several days. And he not only had been praying for several days, but he had been fasting much of that time. And all of a sudden, the angel came to him and had a word from God for him that he was supposed to write down. He did not understand what it meant, but the angel told him to write it down. And so he did. And I'm going to be preaching on hope, and I want you to understand why I have hope and why I trust the scriptures, because the scriptures tell us to the very detail in many ways of what's going to happen in the future. You know things that probably even the people running for president do not know. And that's very simply because we have the Word of God. So in Daniel 9 and verse 24, it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon the holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now here it is. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the time of the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. Now, that specifically says, from the announcement that was made, actually in the area of Iraq, hundreds of years before, this angel said, basically what he said, I'm going to tell you the exact day that Jesus Christ is going to come into Jerusalem on that donkey, and he's going to present himself as king. And so now I'd like for you to also look on the back of the bulletin And I want us to look right in the middle of the word says, this includes a mathematical prophecy. And it says, the Jewish and Babylonian calendars used a 360-day year at that time. This prophecy was given. So if you take 360 times the 69 weeks, which it mentions here, which we read, it comes out to 173,880 days. Now, it says then, at the end of the 173,880 days, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and some people say that the Bible doesn't say that Jesus was the Messiah, and here it says that at the very end of these days, the Messiah would come into Jerusalem on a donkey and proclaim himself as king. Now we have another prophecy concerning this, and you might turn to it, the second to the last book of the Old Testament, and that's Zechariah 9:9. Zechariah 9:9. And I want us to look at that carefully. And that says, Zechariah, the second to the last book in the Old Testament, chapter 9 and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes unto you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Now, what that says very simply, that ass had never been ridden before. It was a young foal of an ass is what it was. All right, now I want you to go to Luke chapter 19 in the New Testament. And we see now, we've seen two prophecies, there's others, and we're not going to take the time to look at all of those. But now I want you to look in Luke chapter 19. And we're going to look here in verse 28. Now, I want you to know that on this particular day that Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem, he went through the eastern gate. He said he was going to return by the same gate. Interesting enough, the Muslims have blocked that gate and sealed it up because they think they're going to be able to stop him from coming the second time, but that's not going to happen. So, when that prophecy was given in Daniel, we know the exact day it was given. It was given March 14th, 445 B.C. We also know the exact day that Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem. That was April 6th, 32 A.D. April 6th, 32 A.D. It's right in your bulletin there. That's exactly 173,880 days as predicted by Gabriel the angel to Daniel hundreds of years before. So Jesus came in at the exact time. There were several times that they wanted him to be king. They tried to take him and proclaim he was king, but he refused. But on this day, this particular day, he accepted that opportunity because it was the day that God had proclaimed through the angel to Daniel that he was to come into the city. Now, if they had studied this closely, if the scribes and the Pharisees and all of these had closely studied this, they would have known that this was the day. And Jesus said, if you'd only known the day. Now, let's look in Luke chapter 19, verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went ahead and ascended up to Jerusalem, and so on. And I'm not going to read this whole thing. He went up there. He told them to go get him the colt and so forth. And look down in verse 41, and when he was come, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. For if thou had known, even thou, at least is this thy day. Jesus said, if you'd only known that this is your day, if you'd only known that this was your day. And he was talking to the city of Jerusalem. Now, he said, if thou had known, even thou at least, is this thy day, the things which belong unto your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. So what he said was, because they did not accept him, they rejected him. Everybody was shouting and yelling, Hosanna, Hallelujah, the king is coming, and so forth, and he comes in. And then a few hours later, the very same people were hollering, crucify him. But the point is, this day was predicted hundreds of years before. Not only the year, not only the month, but the exact day. So, Jesus, this is just one of many things that Jesus fulfilled, prophecies, over 300 of them. He perfectly fulfilled those prophecies. And therefore, that is why I have full confidence and hope in the scriptures, because it announced this day. Now, that's just one instance. Now, God not only does that to give people hope, does that to encourage people, but sometimes God talks to you and I personally. And I'm going to have Grace come right now. She's going to tell you this story quickly that she heard yesterday from a lady. And I want to show you how important it is to listen to the things of God, to hope in God, to believe in the Lord, because, come right up here, God does these things to give us hope.
That's okay. I'll hold that. First of all, I just wanted to share that growing up, my little Italian grandmother always told me about the miracles in her life that Jesus had given her, answers to prayer. She never told me to go to Mass. She never told me to pray. She never told me to say the Hail Mary or pray to Mary. She only told me about the answers to prayer, the miracle answers that she'd gotten. And as a child, that built my faith. I already believed in God. I already loved God. I didn't have any notion at all that he was real. And so when this gal told me this story yesterday, I knew it was true. I just knew it. I met this gal. She was telling me that her dad was a recent widower. And she was telling me that he was only 53 years old. And he had just come into a great sum of money. And she was concerned about him because, not being a Christian, there were a lot of women after him and after the money. And I said, well, what happened to your mom? And she said, well, 2 years ago, my mom was very active, and she broke her ankle, which, you know, as a gal gets older, sometimes her bones get weak, and she broke her ankle. Very healthy girl. Went in for surgery, and the anesthesiologist screwed up. She came out of the surgery for a broken ankle, paralyzed from the neck down. And horrible, horrible. This gal said that she quit her job, and for 17 months, she stayed with her mom. She just, they took her to rehabilitation, and very, very slowly, she started to regain some of her mobility. The first thing that she was thrilled about was that the breathing tube could be taken out, that her own lungs could breathe. And she went on to tell me that her dad bought a wheelchair accessible home for her mom so that her mom could have a comfortable place to be. And she went every day took her mom to rehab. She's a school bus driver, but they let her off to do this for her mom. And she was getting better, and she was getting stronger, and got up to the point where she was using a walker. And she said that her mom had known the Lord, had been a strong Christian. Then she met her dad. Her dad was not a Christian. And she had not gone to church, not showed any interest in Christianity, and now she was in this state. And she told her, I don't know why, but I feel like I've got to spend more time with God. And this girl was so excited because she knew her mom was a Christian. And she said, why don't you leave early from now on? I just feel that I want to start spending time back with God. So she said her mom would go every day out on the porch, sitting there. One day her daughter said, she said to her daughter, all I keep praying is glory, 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 glory to God. I can't even hardly pray anything else. It's just wonderful. And up to the stage where she could use a walker, this gal is so excited because she knew that God's healing power was with her mom. Then all of a sudden, she had a massive heart attack. She died. And the girl was totally devastated. The night she died, she had a dream, and she saw her mother in hell burning. And she woke up screaming and crying, and she said, God, you've got to show me something. I cannot believe that my mom would go to hell. Please, Lord, show me something. The next day, she went over to her dad's. They had to make funeral arrangements. She was sitting there with her dad, and the doorbell rang. There was a lady standing there, and she said, you know, I saw an ambulance here yesterday. Is everything okay here? I know you're new to the neighborhood. Is everything okay? You don't know me. I live down the street. And she said, no, she said, my mom passed away yesterday. And she said, oh, she says, well, I know you don't know me, but I came here to tell you that God told me to tell you she's in heaven. And the girl said, she couldn't believe it. God answered her prayer. When the Satan comes in like a flood and the power of darkness is going to overwhelm you, then Jesus comes through. And she's never seen this lady since. Could have been an angel. Who knows? But God is faithful. And there's hope in him. And it doesn't matter how many times you go to church in your life. Once you're his forever.
So we're talking about hope. We have a lot of reasons to have hope. One of them is the scriptures. And that at times, God will speak to you in various ways. Sometimes it's through another person. Sometimes it's a still small voice inside. And of course, we have the foundation is the very Word of God. And that's what we have to hang on. That's what we have to stand on. But hope is very simply this. It is a confidence and an expectation that God is going to do what he says tomorrow. He's going to do what he says the next day. And he's going to do what he says at the end. That is what hope is. People have a hope in a lot of things. They have a hope in their own ability. They have a hope in people. They have a hope in the world. It's going to get better. There are some people think that if we can just get everybody to sit down at a negotiation table and we think the whole world can get together and come together, but the Bible says that is not the way it's going to happen. There's only hope in one way, and that hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that our future hope is the coming of Jesus Christ. He is going to make this world right. He is going to settle the issues in this world, and nations are going to burn their weapons and so forth, but only because of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is not wishing for something or desiring something. Our hope is in the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have a hope. There was a famous sermon by a man named Martin Luther King. He said, I have a dream. And he says, I have a dream that there's going to be a time in the United States of America that people are going to be able to sit down and fellowship together. I don't know his exact words. Regardless of their race or their skin color or their influence in life or whatever the case is, he said, that is a dream. And I'm going to tell you this, I have the same dream, but my dream is based on a person, the king who came into Jerusalem, who was rejected and put on a cross at Calvary, was buried and rose from the dead on the third day, ascended into heaven, and he's coming again in Jesus' name. One of the reasons that we study the scriptures is so that we will have hope. You have to have hope these days, because we have crazy people in various places that want to blow Israel off the map and destroy the United States and all these other things. And we have to have a hope that God is going to work it out. God's going to work it out for us. We're going to be with him forever, regardless of what man says or anybody else. Now, we're going to look at something to hope for. I want you to look in Revelation at chapter 21. And we're going to look at some prophecies and predictions. And you've seen this many times. But the issue is, this is our hope. And we need to take these things as our hope. Now, the only thing that God does not tell us, he does not tell us the exact day that he's going to come again. He doesn't tell us the exact day that he's going to come for his people in the rapture. He doesn't tell us the exact day that he'll come for Jerusalem at the second coming. He doesn't tell us the exact day when he's going to set up a kingdom and reign for 1,000 years. But we know that this is going to take place. And I think the reason he doesn't do that is because we're supposed to live in the hope of God every single day. We're to get up hoping in God. We are to go through our day hoping in God. We are to go to bed hoping in God. We are to have this divine hope, this divine blessing, and the Word of God. Now, he says a lot of things in Revelation. But for you and I, he says, and I saw a new heaven, this is Revelation 21, a new earth, for the first heaven and the new earth were passed away and there was no more sea. Now, I can go into details on this, but I'm not going to do it all. Very simply, God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. That's what he says. He didn't say when he was going to do it. He said, I'm going to do it. And then John said he had a vision. God showed him a vision with his eyes. He saw a city called the New Jerusalem in verse 2, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for those words are true and faithful, and I'm the Alpha and the Omega, and so on. Now, that says very simply, God gives us a general plan as to what he's going to do in the future. He didn't go into every little detail. He didn't tell you or me every little detail of what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or the next day. But he tells us that his original plan was that God would choose those that would come to him. They would receive Jesus Christ. They would then be promised the following things. Not only would God give them a plan for their life in this world, he would give them a plan for their life in the next world. He said also, there would be a time, and I'm not going into all this in the scriptures, most of you know it. He said there's going to be a time when I come for you. You don't know when the time's going to be. It could be any time. Then there's going to be a time when there's going to be a shout, and you are going to be taken up out of this world and go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in the third heaven, which is probably another dimension. And we're going to be there for 7 years. There's going to be 7 years tribulation period on this earth, a terrible time. Fortunately, we don't have to go through it, but there's enough terrible times right now. We'll have enough of it before the 7 year tribulation. And then Jesus is going to come again, primarily for Israel. We're going to come back with him. He's going to set up a kingdom for 1,000 years. Now, I'll give this in detail sometime, but I just want you to know that these things are going to happen. We have this hope. We have this to look forward to. He just didn't give us an exact time like he did from the time of the prophecy of Daniel till the very day that the Lord Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem. But God did that in that particular prophecy just to show us that he knows exactly what's going to happen. He has it all under control. Well, the things that he tells us about the future are going to happen. There is going to be a time on this earth where we're living in a so-called paradise, a 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to reign from Jerusalem, so obviously Jerusalem's not going to be destroyed. And as they are predicting these days. And then, you know what the world thinks? It's absolutely amazing. You know, if I really think, if we took a poll of the world, they would say, we would gladly sacrifice Israel and the United States if we'd have peace. I really believe that. That's what the world says. But that's not what the Bible says. God said that the Jerusalem's not going to be destroyed because Jesus Christ is going to come and he's going to set up his kingdom there for 1,000 years. We have that hope. We will be with him. Then he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And I really believe heaven and earth are going to come together. They're going to be one place. It's going to be on the new heaven and new earth. God's going to be with his people. We're going to be with him forever. There's not going to be any more tears, no more sickness, no more pain, none of those things. Hard to imagine as we're living in this life, but that's what God says is true. Now, I stake my life that what I've just told you is true. I have staked 35 years of preaching on the fact that what I just told you is true. And I am living that. I am staying alive to teach that message as long as I possibly can because I have the hope of the Word of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that these things are true. Now, you have to have that same hope. There are a lot of people that have no hope. They have none at all. And I wouldn't have any either if I watched the news 24 hours a day. I would have no hope whatsoever. I can tell you this world is going right down the tube. And don't try to save it. It's not going to be saved. God has to make a new one because this one is a lost cause. But the fact is we are to stay on it, keep teaching the Word of God until he takes us to be with him. Now, I am not judging anybody, and I wouldn't do it anyway because I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But I was watching a news program yesterday. There were five commentators on it. they were talking about the governor that had that affair with this prostitute and the fact that he resigned. 4 out of 5 of those people said they didn't think he should have resigned because President Kennedy did it, President Clinton did it, and what difference does it make if this governor does it? And they said, nobody's perfect, so there wasn't any reason for him to resign. There was only one person out of the 5 that stood up and said, if you're a governor, you should be have set a higher standard. If you're a leader, you should set a higher standard than anybody else. He should have resigned because he not only didn't, he lost the trust of the people of the state of New York, he lost the trust of his family and everything else. That doesn't mean he can't be rehabilitated. That doesn't mean he can't be saved. That doesn't mean he's never going to heaven. But the fact is that we have lost our responsibility to God and other people as far as our standard of living is concerned. Are you listening to me? Now, the problem we have and how bad it is, we don't have one person that's a Christian running for president at the present time. Amen. Now, I don't have any hope in that mess. My only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to vote. Somebody says you have to vote for the best of the mess, and I think that's right. But the issue is, I'm not going to vote for anybody that's going to take the life of the baby in the womb. I'll tell you that right now. I don't care how brilliant they are. I hope you're listening. I'm not going to vote for somebody that thinks it's okay to have prostitutes and everything else while you're in office. I'm not going to vote for that person. I'm not judging them. They have to stand before the Lord. I'm not any better than they are. The only difference is my hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I also have the hope that tomorrow he will help me set a standard that I should have, but I'll only do it with his help. Are you listening to me? That's the only way I'm going to do it. If I'm by myself, I'm in trouble. And so I'm not any better than that governor or anybody else that does anything. But the issue is that we as Christians have a higher standard because we belong to God. And we also have a hope that nobody else has. If you also watch the news, there was huge fires in Texas. A crane fell in New York City and killed a whole bunch of folks. Tornadoes killed some people down in Atlanta. I mean, you can go on there. You want to have a sad day, just listen to the news long enough. You'll have a sad day. But I'm going to tell you right now, God didn't do those things. Now, we have to understand what God is like. There are some people say, that's an act of God. He's mad at the country. He's this, he's that. He's causing all these tragedies. I have news. He doesn't have to. Man does a good enough job himself. And the reason, Jesus said, in this fallen, lost world, things happen, and sometimes to people that in our eyes don't deserve to go through whatever they're going through. But God is not doing it. What God wants to do is wipe away the tears from our eyes. What God wants to do is get us a holy city coming down from heaven down to this new heaven and new earth for us to live in. What God wants to do is save us out of this mess and set our feet upon the rock, and that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I was just hearing the other day, now somebody said, you got to be really careful. Don't say anything that's going to upset anybody. You got to be careful in the church. You don't want anybody upset. Well, I have news. You're not going to preach the Word of God. Are you listening to me? I'm not here to make everybody feel good. I'm here to give you the word and the truth of the scriptures, and that's what I do. So I want you to know. So you're not always going to feel good all the time. I tell you, I don't even feel good all the time with what I preach. I'm preaching to myself half the time. So that's the way it is. I want you to know where we're coming from. And so I have a dream. And that dream is what God says he wants to do for you and I. That's the dream I have. That's the hope I have. That's why I do what I do. I'm just like everybody else sometimes. Not everybody, but unfortunately, you're on this medication and that medication. You get tired of the whole mess. But the issue is there's something more important than all of that, and his name is Jesus. And so he is our life. He is our hope. He is the reason we get up. He's the reason we do what we do. And he's the reason that as long as we can and as hard as we can, we're going to do what God wants us to do until either we go to be with him or he comes to us. And that's the issue. It doesn't make a difference how you feel in the morning. It's who he is that counts. And we need to get up and say, Lord, I feel lousy, but you're not sick, and you have something for me to do today, and I want to do it in the name of Jesus. And I have the hope there's going to be a reward at the end. The Apostle Paul was not ashamed to say, I'm going to receive rewards because I am following what God wants me to do. And there's nothing wrong with that, because the Apostle Paul and many others did. In fact, God says very clearly there's going to be rewards for obeying Jesus Christ. So we have a hope of not only having a place to live, we have a hope of not only having everything we need, we have a hope of even having rewards on top of that. There's much more going for the child of God and somebody that's lost and without hope. So, well, it's about time to quit. But we might look at, let's look at some more scriptures here in Revelation. I know we've kind of jumped around today, but I want you to know there's benefits of being a Christian. Some people say, well, man, this life's horrible, and just not. There's going to be so many benefits that's going to outweigh anything you go through in this life. Look, you can read through these scriptures, and it tells all of this, but look in Revelation 22. And this is for everybody that likes to eat, that thinks maybe they're not going to eat in heaven. Well, this tells you you are. And so, interesting thing, when Jesus, it is interesting to me anyway, just about every time that it shows Jesus Christ after he rose from the dead, went up into heaven and came back and stayed on the earth for 40 days, every time he was with the disciples, he was eating. Look and see if that isn't true. He was sitting down eating with them. And very interesting. So I think we'll be eating in heaven. But anyway, Revelation 22, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bore 12 kinds of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there was no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There'll be no more night there. They will need no lamp, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these words are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the thing which must be done. Behold, I come quickly. He really says, I'm going to come on time. It's going to be quick, actually, because sometimes they say the older you get, seems like time goes faster. I don't know if it does, but it probably doesn't, but maybe it does. they have found that time can speed up and time can slow down. It has to do with gravity. It is true that if you go into space, time is different in space than it is on the Earth. It's very interesting if you want to study all that. But that's absolutely true. So God can slow time down. God can speed time up. It's not a problem. He created the whole thing. There was a time back in Joshua in the Old Testament where God just stopped time for 24 hours. Because he's God. I have the hope that I have a God who's in control. I have a hope that God, I have a God that means what he says. I have a hope that we have the Creator God. There's all kinds of gods in this world. But we have the God that created everything. We have the God that's going to be there at the end of it. Well, we have a God that we're going to stand before and be accountable for what we did with the time that we had. Do I hear an amen? So it is important to get in the scriptures. I hope you're doing what I ask you to do and read at least one chapter of the Bible out loud every single day. I hope you're doing that. I am doing that. It will make a difference in your life. You do it for 6 months, you'll begin to think like God. And that's what he wants in our life. I have that hope. I have the hope that if I get in the Word of God, I'm going to get some benefit from it. I have the hope that if I live for Jesus through my lifetime, there's going to be benefit of it. I have a hope that God's going to do every single thing he said, because every scripture he had about Jesus coming the first time came true, and every scripture about Jesus coming the second time is going to be true, and every scripture about Jesus in eternity is true. And so therefore, I have the confidence that God means what he said. Look at Psalm 39 and verse 7. Psalm 39. And verse 7. And if anybody has anything they want to share quickly in a minute, I'll allow you to do it. But Psalm 39 and verse 7. I got to get there myself. Okay. And here's what it says. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in you. I want you to see that. It says, and my hope is in you. And that's where our hope needs to be. If you don't have Christ, you have no hope. You only have yourself and the people that are around you. And they're not going to help you in the future when things get tough, because things are probably not going to get better, and we are going to have to be above this world, in a sense, in our actions, our thoughts, our deeds, our words, our knowledge, and whatever. Do I hear an amen? Does anybody have anything they want to share? We're going into the Easter season. And this week you have a couple opportunities, at least. There's